When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
They want to make clear that they're going for a leader of men. When Ryan Poles called you, as you said, to tell you that he had fired Matt Eberflus, what did he say and how did he explain it?
He just basically told me and called me that he would just going to get this thing turned around and a leader of men going to be in here for the next coach.
A guy that could command respect in the room in a way that, because he's done it before. When they say that, I don't bristle. I understand it because it's something they have lacked.
Yeah, I understand it completely. I think what they mean by leader of men is that they're not looking for an offensive coach or a defensive coach. They're looking for someone that can handle all areas of the job responsibility.
And it is embarrassing, yes, embarrassing, that they don't have a playoff victory since 2011. So be aggressive. Attack the project. Have a mission to find the right guy.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive. I can do a cheer for you, David.
B-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E. That one?
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
At the end of the day, honestly, I don't really give a damn.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You out-cheerleaded me on that one, David.
Good morning,
well
Mully.
Played.
I
Very
did.
Well
that was last week, I believe.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Thank you, Brandon, for bringing that back. Happy Tuesday. What a Monday it was. A long day at House Hall.
Holy guacamole.
Holy guacamole. What was that? Going to sift through the rubble of that press conference. How many times, how many years have we been going to House Hall as I did yesterday, or watching and listening through these news conferences, summarizing big moments? Yesterday's was intended to cover something that they had never done before, ever. How long the Bears been around? 1920, right?
1920.
The because
Decatur Staley's moved to Chicago.
They named the football drive 1920 That's football
right.
drive.
That's right.
So that's 104 years of football. The Bears have never fired their coach in season. Big moment, historic occasion.
Till they last gave us Friday.
They gave us 20 minutes.
Well, they gave you 3 days to stew over it.
To think about what you wanted to know if you were going to get full transparency, which they're allergic to. And then they gave you an 8-minute opening statement filibuster from the team president, 2 minutes from the meek general manager next to him, and then 10 minutes worth of questions.
Meek.
He was.
He shall inherit the earth.
Well, he's inheriting quite a mess.
Well.
Because Ryan Poles has his hands full as being the weakened general manager, taking cues from his team president, because that was, to me, we talk about takeaways, the biggest one. Kevin Warren's running this show.
Oh, there's no shadow of a doubt. I thought it was interesting that he actually said at one point that if they didn't agree, that Ryan Poles would get the final choice. But it wouldn't come to that because Ryan would certainly agree. No, he didn't say it that way, but didn't you get that feeling?
Definitely got that feeling. You don't come into that news conference setting, if you're Kevin Warren, basically read from a script, have 8 minutes to present your case, and then try to make us believe that this is a equal partnership collaborative effort.
I mean, he left no doubt about who the general manager is, and he left no doubt about their perspective roles. He also left no doubt about who's in charge just by everything, the entire way the whole thing was handled. And meek is probably the right word. I mean, he was more head bowed listening than he was kind of take charge, take control. He allowed the team president to be the team president and honest to God, I mean, I got no problem with it, but it was Mr. Warren, holding court. And then he got to answer a couple of questions, and he got to say a few things, but no doubt who was leading the show.
That was the impression that I think everybody was left with, and that is the direction that the Bears are headed.
Yep.
This is a team president that will essentially allow his general manager to be the point person on a coaching search, but there's no ambiguity about who's in charge. And there are a lot of ways to interpret that, and he did show public faith in Ryan Poles. There are 5 games to go.
5 games.
And I wonder if this is pending. I wonder if that commitment is lasting. I wonder a lot of things, because as bad as it seems right now, they could still conceivably finish the season on a franchise record losing streak of 11 straight.
Yes, they could.
After 2 years removed from having a franchise losing franchise record losing streak of 10 straight.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I think if they're going to end this losing streak, it's this week.
This is the best chance for victory.
I think it's the best chance.
It is.
I think you're facing a team in San Francisco, you know, a team that was the NFC champion a year ago, but certainly having a difficult time this season. They've got a ton of injuries. They crossed the country. They crossed the continent to play in the snow in Buffalo. They come back to San Francisco. The Bears have had a longer time off. They announced yesterday they've lost not one, but both of their running backs for the season. Christian McCaffrey's on IR, as is the backup who has a high ankle sprain, which we know takes 6 weeks, and there's 5 weeks left in
He's
the
done.
Season. So I think there's a lot of things that would benefit a football team making that trip. I don't know where the Bears are at. I don't know where the lift from the coach is. I mean, I got a feeling that things are better, but that's all surmising, and it's everything's very relative interesting. Too. They named the wide receivers coach as the interim offensive coordinator. Nice to get a title, but he's the head coach still calls the plays. It's just interesting. I can't wait to find out if Chris Beatty has ever really had a conversation with Caleb Williams now that he's his interim offensive coordinator, his third offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
of the year,
I think that's almost play caller. Name only. But it's nominal bump.
But nonetheless, Thomas Brown said that he never really had a conversation with the guy before he took that job. I'm just curious.
Well, the football operation's in a state of flux. Week to week, I think game to game, those are the kinds of things that provide the backdrop to what else is going on. But there's limited impact and significance, I think, to each game that they play moving forward. The best chance for victory comes against the 49ers, I think, Sunday out in San Francisco, Santa Clara. But I think they have one obligation, and that is to put Caleb Williams in the best position possible. Thomas Brown coming down on the field and calling plays, I think, does that. I don't know how much the connection will be between the offensive coordinator in name only and the quarterback. I'm not sure how much that matters or not.
Just curious.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of stuff that came out of yesterday that make you just curious because of the way that it was handled and the questions we were left with. This wasn't a case of, all right, this is something that we're going to address fully, transparently, and completely. This was something that they cut it off after 20 minutes, and this is the same idea, the same approach that got them in trouble on Friday, when they kind of minimized the impact that a bad decision, public relations decision, would have on the whole entire organization.
That was maybe the worst moment of the news conference when asked about that the allowing the coach to do the Zoom conference before firing him. And it was a good question for Kevin Warren, whose response was effectively, well, maybe we could have done that better. But he had to explain that they wanted the coach to be able the first one to tell his family that he was fired. They didn't want to leak out anything, so they let him go on the Zoom. You could still stop the Zoom without leaking out anything.
Do we have his response? Because I do think that Kevin Warren was asked that, and it was Patrick Finley, I believe, the one who asked it. He got it in during the race to ask a question in that 20-minute
It was a good race because it ended quickly,
It was a speed session. But Kevin Warren explaining what happened on Friday and why they...
But the question included something like, do you realize how the league perceived... Do you realize what the entire league thought of that, basically?
Right, and I think that was a big part of it.
I can tell you this. When Coach Eberflus had his press conference, we had not made a final decision. And I think you know me. I think you know Ryan. I think you know George McCaskey. And I think you know the McCaskey family. If one thing we stand for is family and integrity and doing it the right way. In retrospect, could we have done it better? Absolutely. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Yes. But during his press conference and even a couple hours later, we had not reached a decision. But on the flip side of it, something that was important to us is that once we reached the decision, we wanted to make sure to talk with Matt about that so he could have the respect to be able to call his family. And I'll say this one thing that happened. This is the first time, and it happens around the league a lot, where a head coach will find out he's terminated. And he finds out before he's told from the organization. And that's something that we promised that we weren't going to do. So in retrospect, could we have done better? Yes. But we were trying to be respectful. And we did not know our decision when he started his press conference. We always have debates. But again, from Ryan, him making the decision and talking with myself and George, debate is good. And I don't want to call it any dissenting voices, but we had discussion. This was not a 5-minute conversation. I mean, when you're talking about decisions that you've made about not only individuals' lives and careers, but we were very thoughtful. And the other thing that was really important is the fact that we not only played in Detroit, that's Thanksgiving Day. And I have just learned over my career that it's important to try to at least get a good night's sleep, which I don't think any of us did Thursday night, but at least try to think clear and be respectful to make better decisions. And I think once we had an opportunity to discuss this at length, we felt that Friday was the right time to do it.
Now, that's ridiculous, because this Thanksgiving Day thing just makes you kind of cringe and chuckle. But the point being, if you were unsure, why you would be unsure is a different story.
Yeah.
And really kind of hard to believe. But if you were unsure about the future of your head coach and firing him was an option when you met that morning at 7:30.
Oh, yeah.
Then you suspend all other activities.
That's right.
You go to your director of public relations, assuming he showed up for work that day.
Well, you shouldn't have to go to him.
No, they should go to you.
That's
and
right.
Say that if this is a possibility, if you are communicating as well as they claim to have communication there, then you don't put anybody out there if he's about to lose his job or if that is a possibility. If you remove that possibility during your meeting, then you let him go out there at 12 or 1 o'clock. But if firing him was on the table,
yes,
you take him out of
exactly
every
you just,
activity.
That's what you do. You just say, hey, we're postponing this till later in the afternoon.
Stop making excuses.
And if people want to surmise, oh, they're firing him, that's better than having the guy walk out there and say, oh, I'm to San Francisco, and then
because
fire
it doesn't
him
leave
two
a mark.
Hours later.
Because it doesn't
it,
leave
it
a mark that way.
It makes you look foolish in the eyes of everyone in the league.
And he looked even more foolish trying to justify, rationalize, even though he owned it. The explanation
yes.
was hollow, and it didn't seem like he owned it because he was still giving us this explanation.
It was his worst moment. And the reality is, I think you need to take the emotion out of decisions. You know, you would have fired the guy in the post game. If you were there, you saw what happened, you saw the reaction. You would have the guy basically was fired when he made the blunder at the end of the game, and
yes.
we all knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, we were on immediately in the post game. How do you defend that? It's indefensible. And you knew that it was a bridge too far.
It was
the third game of that type of loss within six consecutive losses. There was very little shadow of a doubt. I got to be honest with you. When I heard he was doing the Zoom, I was surprised. And I thought, wow, I can't believe they haven't fired him. I was genuinely surprised.
Because you never imagined that they would put him out there if they were going to fire him.
Because you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So there is very much no excuse that we needed to wait and decide whether we were going to fire him. No one is going to believe that. We hadn't really met. We wanted to have a clear head. I like those ideas. You want to take the emotion out of it. You want to talk about exactly what you're doing.
That's fine.
I understand that. But do not roll the guy out there. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
And that's a blunder. And that's a public relations blunder. And it makes you look exactly the opposite of how you want to portray yourself.
It's really remarkable because it is consistent with the Bears organization. For a franchise that has so much experience dealing with crises, they do such a lousy job of managing them. And that was another example yesterday, or maybe it began last Friday, because nobody got out in front of it.
Yes.
And you have remade
yes.
your entire communications team, and you
oh
have
my God.
Spent a lot of money with a lot of new resources trying to shape a message that is supposedly polished and concise and clear and strong. And yesterday, it sounded as murky as ever.
Yep.
There was no clarity there. There was
None.
No transparency
None.
There.
And there
transparency.
Was, you know, there was very little taking responsibility for a mistake. There was very little of that.
And it's such, you know, it was such a stark contrast too between what we heard from Kevin Warren and the general manager, who didn't speak much, Ryan Poles, and Thomas Brown. You know, Thomas Brown, when he got a chance to address the assembled media, I felt like did leave a positive
yep.
impression. And it was such a different, stark contrast between the two approaches. You know, Poles and Warren were like they were reading from a script. And Thomas Brown was like he's speaking from the heart. And he is very impressive. So you can see
he's
why.
Authentic.
He is authentic.
Comes across that way.
Yeah. But the other guys, that's a problem because not much has changed there. It didn't leave you feeling confident about the process, and it made you think that somewhere along the way, they're not going to realize that there's something in their way.
Well,
they don't know what they don't know.
That, you know, you can speak all you want about being the most professional organization with the most coveted job because you've got all these things in place. But the reality is that was an awkward. Listen, I don't care how bad they followed it up. I'm glad they fired a coach in season. I'm not being cruel to Matt Eberflus, but from the way I felt that morning to them actually getting done what had to be done, it was almost a relief because I couldn't believe they rolled the guy out for a Zoom conference and then fired him. I just was very surprised by that. It lacked the kind of professionalism that they talked about at the world-class organization and first and everything. Listen, that was a blundering mistake that was badly done. It just needs to be better. It's a simple call. Hey, we're postponing this till the afternoon. You'll hear more from us in a couple hours. That's all you do. You don't roll the guy out there so he's talking about the Niners game. And it was embarrassing to the coach. It was embarrassing to the organization. And it was the opposite of what you're trying to portray yourself as.
Do you?
I didn't understand why you needed. I think he when he said, hey, could we have done it better? Yes. That's all you have to say. And then you say, I just felt it was excuse making.
Do you have any better sense of what kind of coach they're seeking after hearing both men speak yesterday?
No, I don't. And no one said leader of men. That phrase was not uttered. So I do not understand. I think they did make up a case that it is the best job and that you know there are a lot of things to like. They're missing the whole point, though, because there are a couple of things working against them that we'll get into during the pick six, not the least of which is the perception of ownership around the NFL.
Perception of ownership remains what it always has been, and there's a lot of questions about the McCaskies and the way the franchise is run, no doubt about that. I just wonder, how do you prepare over the weekend for something like went through yesterday and still have no clear-cut answer about whether or not they're going to hire an outside firm? That was kind of undecided, sounded like, and whether or not, you know, the answer to who has the final say, even though it seldom comes down to that. I mean, I don't know that people are there, these warring factions like we tried to maybe point out. A lot of people, the number one choice is obvious to everybody, but they weren't prepared for that answer either. It was like, well, if we do, Ryan Poles is the point man. But basically, what Kevin Warren was saying was, yeah, he's going to be the guy. We're going to agree because what I say goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, he said if it came to it, he would have the call, but it will never come to that. But, yeah, I heard the same thing you did. I'm really happy we're talking to Jarrett Payton today because I seem to recall, we'll have to ask him, but I believe he talked to Kevin Warren on WGN exclusively. It might have been around President's Day. Maybe that was the hook to the interview, and we'll ask him. But he came out and he talked about, you know, Justin Fields and the character of the man and what a great guy he is and a great representative and all that stuff. And then they dumped Fields not shortly thereafter. I'm saying eventually they
last
dumped
year?
Him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So I don't know if Kevin Warren, I mean, he said some things that you would think were conclusive and were very final. Does that mean they're conclusive and final?
I don't think so.
I think that Jared might be a good guy to ask about that just because I believe his response to a question about Justin Fields was very interesting. Kind of, would that be akin to him pumping up the general manager? I'm not saying that's the case. He was pretty specific,
but he
said the guy's in charge.
We know,
I'm just wondering.
Guys who consider themselves strong communicators, and Kevin Warren certainly does consider himself that, I believe they believe what they say as strongly as they say it at that moment in time
yes.
is true.
Right.
And so, yes, yesterday,
That's
Monday,
exactly how he
December
feels
2nd,
right
that
now.
Was exactly how he felt. confidence in Ryan Poles.
After five more games, how will he feel?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to say that it's going to be unconditional.
And here's the other element of that. There is nothing, I mean literally nothing, that a general manager can do right now on a daily basis to improve this team over the last five games. That work was already done.
Yeah.
What we're witnessing in this season is the final product of his work. The work he's on to now has to do with the future.
The draft.
With the draft.
Salary cap, contract extensions.
With all
these kinds of things
that are very important for the team moving forward. But the general manager cannot improve this team or can do very little to improve this team over the last five games of the year.
Well, he did not look like somebody who was empowered to do much, frankly. This was not a good day for Ryan Poles. It was not a good day in the way that he projected himself. I thought Patrick Finley really described it well in the Sun-Times. It just seemed as if he's along for the ride. And, you know, is he really? That is not how
the number one football decision maker at
Hallis Hall for the Bears organization. That's not how you carry yourself. And it was unmistakable.
I understand that conclusion. I would also say that we did watch the guy kind of struggle through cuts on Hard Knocks. It's not a part of the job that he really seems to enjoy.
Well, it is the job.
It's the big job. He looked like he was as much of a failure as the coach was.
You judge him by results. But it's human nature to have sort of impressions that you form based on what you see and how somebody carries himself. Ryan Poles did not have a good day Monday.
No, he was working his way through it in front of everybody. It was rough, and it was like Dad was there to tell him that, oh, that's okay. You were wrong about everything, but you did fine. I don't know. We'll see. It was very interesting. We'll get into it. We've got the pick six next. We're going to pick apart all the stories that we think were relevant from that news conference, from the entire day of sports. Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you surprised by how strong Bears president and CEO Kevin Warren was in his endorsement of the GM Ryan Poles? Would it be a major upset if Poles lost his job now that his boss named him the, quote, point person for the team's head coaching search?
Ryan is young, he's talented, he's bright, he's hardworking. He has done everything in his power on a daily basis to bring a winner to Chicago. And I'm confident in Ryan.
Any surprise there?
I don't find that really surprising. I mean... he couldn't have been stronger, frankly, in his endorsement of the general manager. And he said he's the general manager and he's going to be the general manager in the future. So I don't question what he said. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of things that happen over the course of life, but he didn't leave a lot of wiggle room. I think Ryan Poles is safe. I thought that he was the dominant personality yesterday. There's no doubt about that. I don't know that naming a guy the point man is actually giving him final say, although he claimed to give him final say, but he didn't think it would come to that, that they would agree to it. Nice to be a point person on anything, I suppose. But, yeah, Ryan Poles keeps his job. That's my conclusion.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know how you could endorse anybody stronger than that. So, I mean, if there was a change of course by the time we get done with the five games, which I think is what the focus probably is on right now, that would be massive news. And it would also be another bungling, probably a wrong word, but I'm going to use it anyway, of this whole thing. I mean, if in 5 or 6 weeks from now, Kevin Warren is sitting up there by himself saying to us that Ryan Poles is no longer part of the organization, that we are going to be making fun of what happened yesterday at Halas Hall longer than we'll be making fun of what happened on Friday at Halas Hall.
Maybe. I don't know, because after five more losses, conceivably, then you're looking at 11 straight losses. And I do have a hard time envisioning reinforcing faith in a general manager who has presided over two of the longest losing streaks in season in team history. But I think that Kevin Warren said what he had to say yesterday, and he had to say what he believed to be true in that moment and on that day. And on that day and in that moment, he believed that Ryan Poles is the guy who is the point person on the head coaching search, because you have to start now, and you have to start putting together a list and contacting people in the league. That's what a general manager does. He has a network of people and people he has worked with and for, and this is what happens when you make your general manager at the front of your coaching search. I also wonder this. He could not have been stronger in his endorsement, so I think that makes Ryan Poles feel safe. It also makes Kevin Warren feel safe, because the longer that Ryan Poles is his general manager, the longer that Kevin Warren is clearly the most dominant personality in that organization. So as long as Ryan Poles is doing his job, Kevin Warren can be asserting his power.
I don't even know how to answer the oral question.
Did Thomas Brown sound like a guy ready to concede he's not a legit candidate, or did Brown sound more like somebody ready to seize the opportunity of a lifetime?
Clearly, to me, it was the latter. This is somebody that looks at five games as an opportunity to prove what he's capable of doing, how he's capable of motivating, what he's capable of calling in terms of a game plan, in terms of executing on the field where he's going to be now coming down from the booth. I think Thomas Brown is impressive. He was authentic. He was charismatic. He was speaking from the heart and not talking off a script like the other guys. This is somebody who has an opportunity to put himself in the mix. Can I say here on December 3rd that Thomas Brown won't be the next permanent head coach of the Chicago Bears? I don't think so. I think I felt before yesterday like he had less of a chance than I did after he spoke. Now, is that being a prisoner of the moment? Absolutely. But I think that's the way effective speakers make you feel in the moment, like anything is possible. So right now, it is possible that he could have a good tenure. What is a good tenure? We can debate what that is. Two wins, three wins, whatever. You'll know it when you see it, if you see the interim coach bounce Sunday in Santa Clara. I think they're going to experience one, because I think this guy is infectious with enthusiasm that players will want to support him, want to back him, and want to play hard for him.
It's definitely the latter as far as the question. There was nothing that he said
body language wise or verbally that he is going to concede and just, I'm lucky to be here. Aw, shucks. And, you know, I'm going to be back to being a passing game coordinator in 6 weeks. That's not what we heard at all. I think this guy's got a really good shot at being the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. Now, if he's 0-5, it's going to be a tough sell, right? If the Bears are 0-5 under him, it's going to be a tough sell. But as you guys pointed out in the first segment of this show today, the 49ers on paper right now, without their top two running backs for Sunday, looks like the most winnable of the five games left. But just imagine if he's in all five games, beats the 49ers, and somehow beats the Packers. Okay, that is going to be a massive checkmark to his favor. Okay, and there's a bunch of other things, too, that we can talk about later, why I think this makes sense for the McCaskies.
Yeah, I think it is the opportunity of a lifetime, and I would expect that he will try to make the most of it. You know, I read somewhere that he was on the staff in Wisconsin with Chris Beatty. They kind of came up together, so they knew each other for a couple of years in Madison. And I'm happy that he's got someone that is a friend in the organization, right? If he feels like, you know, you name the guy the interim offensive coordinator, you're doing a solid for a buddy, but you're also, you know, surrounding yourself with someone on your side. And I'm not saying the other coaches are against him, but I do think that you get to different points in a football season where people have to worry about their own future and their own career. And there, you know, there are people lining up what they're going to be doing after they're unemployed when the head coach has been fired and the offensive coordinator is gone and there's all sorts of changes. Now, he's responsible for those two positions, basically. And you're putting a lot on his plate. So we'll see. You know, I agree with you, Dustin. I think this is their best chance. And if they can get a win, who knows? Who knows what that can mean to the team, the buy-in you might get, the idea that all we needed was to get rid of a guy. It's
conceivable. It's football.
There's a lot up against you, right?
Yeah.
There's no shadow of a doubt. It is a long shot, to say the least. But this is your chance. Make the most of it.
We'll open the floor up for questions after we have Charles Smith.
Do you agree with Kevin Warren, who promulgated, is that the right word? I know he did this on purpose. The Bears head coaching vacancy as, quote, the most coveted job in the National Football League this year.
We're going to have plenty of salary cap space. We have a young, talented roster. We have strong draft capital in the upcoming draft. And we have a quarterback in Caleb Williams who's shown he is very special. And in the right environment, he can become even more special than he already has shown.
All right, so is that job the best in the National Football League?
Well, I mean, here's the question, Dustin. I mean, do we know how many jobs are open in the National Football League? We know there are three open right now. And this one has a quarterback. So I think that's pretty good. I think there are reasons to like the Bears opening, and he does a good job of kind of explaining those. You've got salary cap space, you've got draft capital, you've got a young quarterback, and you've got some talent on the roster. Yeah, I think that there are some real pluses to this job, but it's also in the toughest division in football, and it's also with the McCaskey family, which a lot of people look at askew, whether they should or shouldn't. People always wonder about what the Bears are up to and what the sport is and all that stuff. So I don't know that it is the best job. I got to see how many of these jobs open up and who the other players are that are available to people coming in. I think it's a pretty good job. I think it's the kind of job that if you have a certain sensibility, it'd be perfect for you. But I think there will be people that might be hesitant about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think it's our job to speculate. Now, if the 49ers somehow were tired of Kyle Shanahan, just like The voice has gotten old. It's just not working out here.
Now we're talking.
Now, what my point is that maybe that's a better job.
Okay.
But, okay, like, the Rams aren't making a move. The Cardinals aren't making a move. The Seahawks aren't making a move. The Panthers probably aren't making a move, and it's a worse job even if they did. The Saints, worse job. Okay, nobody else in the North, so the Bears. Okay, the Giants and Cowboys, I mean.
Going through every team?
Well, I mean, isn't that the point? It's if we're trying to figure out if it's the most coveted job in football, and we're saying, well, we don't
know.
Right, we don't know. So let's do this. We know there's three jobs open, right? There's three jobs open right now. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Thank you.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's the best job in the National Football League based on what's available right now. And I'm trying to speculate other potential openings. And it's still, without a shadow of a doubt, the best job available in the National Football League.
Are you
sure? Give me one that's close.
No.
Other than the 49ers.
Are you sure the 49ers job is that much better? You know, they don't really have a quarterback.
I'm trying to make a case for something.
They got a quarterback that's looking for $60 million.
Yeah. They're going to have salary cap hell soon.
Are you going to pay him?
Yeah. That's going to be tough.
I'm saying the closest thing to it. I said it's the best by far. I'm trying to come up with one that's even on the radar.
That's
within 100 yards of the Bears' job.
It's a good exercise. I think that yesterday when you heard all of what Kevin Warren had to say, and it was only 20 minutes worth, but this was the most believable that he came across. This was the thing that he said that wasn't like, where's he getting that from? I totally agree. And I never considered the 49ers. That's a good debate. But you're the president of the Chicago Bears, and you're sitting across from Mike Vrabel or Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury or Brian Flores or whoever it may be. You're selling this as the best job in football, certainly the best job available. And you can defend that by the things that he said. You have Caleb Williams. Hello. You've got salary cap space. You've got a fan base starving for success. You win here, you're a legend. And I think those are things very appealing to football coaches. They like the challenge. They like the quarterback. They love the idea of having a legacy. So Kevin Warren was exactly right. It was the truest thing that he said on Monday.
It's a pick six! It's a Bronco pick six!
Was Warren's weakest moment when he defended the Matt Eberflus Zoom conference on Friday morning. Did you like hearing him admit that, quote, in retrospect, could we have done better? Yes, end quote. Do you really believe they didn't know what they were going to do with the coach?
I really do believe they didn't know what they were going to do, and shame on them for having that kind of uncertainty when they went into that meeting on Friday morning. Shame on them for not canceling the news conference at 9 o'clock, where Matt Eberflus went on a Zoom and faced all kinds of humiliation for having to just basically do his job and check a box. Shame on them for not having the foresight, not having the perceptive powers, not having one of their highly paid PR people that they brought in from wherever they brought them in from, not anticipating what would happen if they did what they did. If they really had one possibility, one bit of uncertainty that Matt Eberflus was not going to be the coach by the end of the day, they should have canceled everything else when they gathered at the beginning of the day, because what they did was embarrass themselves, and they're receiving as much attention for that Zoom conference that they didn't cancel as they are for firing a coach who had to go. So he could claim that, you know what, in retrospect, they could have done better. Yes. But the explanation about how they came to that conclusion, not acceptable.
Definitely top three. I mean, there was a bit of a follow-up where he talked about everything they talk about up there is a conversation, and there's a dissenting voice, and we debate it, and we talk it through. But the idea, like, the reason they didn't, it was a fireable offense from the time the clock hit zero. And it was, it not by itself. But like, as Jalen Johnson had put it, enough was enough. There was enough. When he saw the locker room revolt, that was a fight. Like, he should have never. We wanted to get a good night's sleep. It was Thanksgiving, so we didn't want to ruin the guy's turkey. You know, this guy's got $10 million. You guys talked about it yesterday. He's gonna be okay. Like, he'll be fine. He's got $10 million coming to him. Ego bruised, but pockets deep. He'll be okay. You know, he talked about, we have the greatest fans. We got to do, you know, if you wanted to do right by the fans, there would have never been a shadow of a doubt. Never. And the fact that how they did it was, look behind the curtain. Our boss, Mitch, texted me, said, what do you think happens? I said, nothing, unfortunately, because they let him go out there and talk. I didn't think there was any way you could fire him because you let him go out there and talk. 30 minutes later, he was gone. It was handled poorly, terribly.
Look, I think the reality is that anybody who has watched this losing streak, anybody who's watched these games pile up, anybody who has seen the reaction in the post-game locker room to these losses knew it had to happen. I think the reality is, let's say, I don't know how close the general manager and the team president are. I do not know that information. I don't know if Ryan Poles looked at him and said, guy's got to go. And he said, yeah, he's got to go. But then they had to go convince George. I think that for whatever reason, the McCaskey family took some perverse satisfaction in the idea that they had never fired a coach in season. And they were proud of that fact. And they felt that was something that helped them land coaches. That you know you're going to get a fair shake and we're not going to do a knee-jerk reaction and we're not just looking to move on no matter how bad things get. So I think it is possible, conceivable, that they had to go in and convince George this is the right thing to do. I don't know that. I'm just saying it is certainly possible that they had to, they felt like this was work. Like they had to get in there and come up with an argument and have a discussion and convince someone that it was time to make this move that had never happened before in the history of the franchise. But if you went into that meeting thinking the guy had to go, then you owed it to the organization, to yourself, and to the coach, and to everybody covering the team to cancel that news conference. If there was any idea in the back of your head that this could happen, then you needed to cancel that news conference. You needed to do it if you were Ryan Poles. You certainly needed to do it if you were the team president who had just hired a new communications director. And I don't know if it's on George's plate or not, but someone went into that meeting thinking the guy had to go because that was what happened. That was the conclusion. Someone argued the point. So whoever that was, you needed to take care of business before you did it. That's all.
A pick six by Jameis Winston.
What did you think of Jalen Johnson's comments on the afternoon show? And at the end of the day, how big of a role did Johnson's comments play in Matt Eberflus being fired?
You know, he's an unhappy bear, right? He's a guy that is struggling with this. You know, God bless him. I think he's a competitive guy. But if I'm Coach X and I'm coming into the locker room, where does that sit with you? Where does that sit that you've got at least one guy that has no problem expressing any thought that goes through his head and feels like his position entitles him to that? He's a good player. Do you want to get rid of him if you're taking over the organization? And that is not, I like Jalen Johnson. That might sound cruel to you, but you don't know a lot about the NFL if that sounds like it's out of line. Because coaches like players that do what they're told and don't get in their face about it. And if you develop a reputation as the guy that likes to speak his mind, the guy that feels he's got a lot to say, and it's his right as a player to say it. There are guys that would say, do that elsewhere. That is the reality of the NFL. So I don't know that sort of thing is anything coaches like to see. I don't know if that makes the job more attractive or less attractive as a head coaching job when we talk about how coveted it is. You got a lot of players here that have been given a lot of leeway, and it'll be very interesting. Does that limit the candidates that you can go after? Because there are some people that just wouldn't take it. You know, I like Jalen Johnson. I like him on the air. I just wonder about that.
It was the dagger. It was the final nail in the coffin. Matt Eberflus got himself fired. But the fact that the locker room revolted in the way that they did in front of Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, and maybe a McCaskey, I'm that part I'm not sure about, but I know Kevin Warren and I know Ryan Poles were in that locker room afterwards. And they saw that and they knew they had no choice. And I think, Mully, going back to what you answered the previous question, I think you're 100% spot on that the McCaskeys prided themselves in giving coaches a full season. You know, didn't do it in season. I think that's totally true. And I bet the dissenting voice on Friday was the McCaskey family holding on to that tradition. But after...
Pure speculation.
Wasn't that what... What do you mean?
Do you know that?
No, he said, I bet.
I bet. But
yeah, we are, we are speculating.
This whole... David, this whole segment is speculation.
No, but if you think about it, we said we don't know the relations between these people, but is it possible this happened?
So you think the McCaskeys wanted to keep Flus?
Yeah, because I don't think Kevin Warren did, and I don't think Ryan Poles did. And if Ryan Poles wanted to, I don't think Ryan Poles would have been sitting up there with Kevin Warren yesterday.
Interesting.
You can't fire the owners.
Yeah, that's good speculation.
You're pulling that.
We can go back to the updates and just give the facts. The Blackhawks beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-1. Josh Giddey had a triple-double. That's the fact.
Okay.
I could speculate that they...
You're pulling a lot of your opinion out of an orifice not usually associated with opinion.
So I'm going to disagree with you a little bit here, Dustin. I know you'd be shocked.
Breaking news on the score brought to you by BetQL.
Jalen Johnson could have been as quiet as a church mouse in the locker room. They could have hugged Matt Eberflus after that loss. And the Bears would have had no choice but to fire him. And they would have fired him because he was so fired when they didn't call timeout. That was unforgivable. So really, this is great drama and certainly leads to great speculation and tremendous theater. Jalen Johnson is tremendous theater. As a Pro Bowl, All-Pro cornerback this year, he has made more news with his words than he has with his actions.
Has he been to the Pro Bowl?
Not this year. No, has he been to the Pro Bowl? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Nope. I don't think so. We'll get the facts on that. But at the end of the day, as Jalen said a couple times, at the end of the day, I don't think his outburst had anything to do with him getting fired, because they had to fire him. That was obvious from the moment that he didn't call timeout. This is a byproduct of a team that had spiraled out of control. The coach had lost the locker room, whether it was Jalen Johnson, DJ Moore, or Mercedes Lewis and his Kevin Byard and all the guys who have podcasts and outlets and things to say. This team talks a lot. They're the most quotable 4-8 team in the league. And as you point out, Mully, the next coach is going to come in here and look at, like, it is loud in this locker room and we're going to knock it off. Where do I start? Who's going first? And they're going to want to make an example. And I thought that yesterday, listening to Jalen Johnson, and since that happened, I wonder how the next coach is going to feel about having his best player also be his loudest.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Yes, maybe the Lord can deliver me from this pick six segment. What was your take on the Bulls-Nets game last night? What stood out to you about the performances? Where are you with this team, especially now that they have been eliminated from the NBA Cup?
I feel like you totally misunderstood me. Come on, man. Give me a big hug. Come on.
I think you're driving him from the pick six.
The Bulls. Josh Giddey triple-double. That was cool. He needed that. The Nets are tanking. I think that's what we saw last night. They're resting their players. They were winning too often, and they came into Chicago hell-bent on losing. It was the Bulls' biggest victory of the year. Matis Buzelis, really good. Really, really good. Bulls are fun to watch on nights like last night. So that was my takeaway, and it's too bad they got eliminated from the Cup.
The Bulls won. Giddey had a triple-double. The team's middle of the road. And yes, it is a fact that they have been eliminated from the NBA Cup.
The NBA Cup was just included so you'd feel better about things. That's all. I threw that in for you, David.
Thank you.
You were meant to feel positive about that. That's all.
I feel seen.
I know you love all of that. I thought that they played really well, considering they were without one of their best players. Right? I mean, the idea that that no Kobe, no matter, is probably a good one. You know, it seemed like Vooch went off, had a really good game. It felt like Giddy with the triple double, 13 rebounds and 11 assists. Good for him. He needs some kind of lift, you know. As you say, Bezelis with 20 points was excellent. So, you know, that's a bad team. That was about the opponent as much as anything else. But, you know, when I saw that the Coby White was out, I was worried about him. You know, worried might be overstating it, but I was, you know, concerned. Will they even, you know, they'd lost a couple of games, both teams had, and I worried that they wouldn't be able to win. But they did, they won handily. It was good. It was a really good win for them.
Good stuff.
Good game to have gone to.
It would have been a good game to have gone to. You know who I saw yesterday at the United Center while doing at the Chicago Sports Network after the Pro Football Show, big Pro Football Show? Sarah Kustak is in town.
Oh, really? Yeah.
She's the analyst for the Nets. Yeah. And it was great to see Sarah Kustak. What a nice person, great person, tremendous analyst. And she has gone on to do some great things since leaving Chicago.
Yeah, good for her. That's great stuff. We've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw. It's the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
The Bears may believe their head coaching job is the most coveted in the NFL, but is it also a scary one now that our guy Mike Sando pointed out in The Athletic that the NFC North is not going to only be the most dominant since the division realignment since 2002, but also the most in points per game margin since the AFL-NFL merger all the way back to 1970. Would that give anybody pause?
I don't think it would give anybody pause. I think those are fascinating statistics. Those are fascinating. It's a fascinating set of facts. And I do think that when you look at what the NFC North has become, it's a gauntlet. And that's why the second half of the season was so daunting for the Bears. They did not take care of business in the first half against the weak portion of the schedule. So they were not going to go through the NFC North and take the North, as Ryan Poles promised. They're not close to taking the North and never giving it back. They're close to they're closer to an overhaul than they are to taking the North. So fascinating numbers, but I still think we're talking about football coaches. And if you are successful enough to get an interview, to be an NFL head coach, to get an interview with the Chicago Bears, you have reached a level in your profession that you have achieved something. You've achieved that based on how you do your job. You're full of confidence. There won't be one person they interview that doesn't think that they could come to Chicago and win a Super Bowl with the Bears and Caleb Williams. And if that person doesn't think that, you don't want to interview him. And if that person is intimidated by the NFC North, you do not want him to be working at 1920 Football Drive. So, yes, it is fascinating and interesting and a sign of the times how good the NFC North has become. But I don't think that it would give any candidate pause. And if it does, you've got the wrong candidate.
Well, amen to that, that you would have the wrong candidate. But I do, in my opinion, think that one thing, if you were whiteboarding it up and you're the offensive coordinator for the Lions, is that you don't want to play the Lions and Dan Campbell two times a year. I think that is something that you would say, if it was close. And one of the negatives about the job, I'm saying if you're already in the NFC North and you're looking to move from the Vikings, the Packers, or the Lions to the Bears, that might be a reason why, because you don't want to have to face your previous team two times in your first time as a head coach.
I agree with you, David. These are daunting statistics, and I'm not sure it really would impact anyone. But I do think there are other things that impact coaches, and that is, you know, not just the stability of ownership, but the flexibility of ownership. I think if I were taking a head coaching job, I would be very interested in the longevity of the general manager. If I felt the general manager were teetering or in trouble, would that be good for me or bad for me? You know, that could mean that I was about to get more power, but was there a danger that they're going to bring in some other guy who might not like me as much that would be more powerful than I am and really control the roster in a way that I didn't like? So I would, you know, you'd have to have a lot of stuff in print and on your contract. I don't think that's a helpful thing. I wonder about the locker room and the leeway and the lack of discipline that some players have shown, whether that means that you got a lot of guys that like to talk or you got guys that are committing penalties and committing the same penalty and there are pre-snap penalties
lacking
going
focus
on. Well, it just makes me wonder,
yeah,
if I look at that and I say, well, I'll get that straightened out in about 10 minutes, or if I say, man, you know, you wonder about who they're bringing in if that keeps happening. So I think there are, believe it or not, there are a lot of things that will impact a coach as to why he takes a job or why he doesn't. And I think that, you know, we're talking about, can you get a head coach for this job? Absolutely. But we're talking about, can you get the best head coach for this job? There are people that would have some pause because of some of the reasons that are not stated. I think the salary cap situation, the draft pick situation, the fact that there is young talent here, Caleb Williams, those are all pluses. And I think that there are coaches that would want the job for that reason. But I think that when you make your checklist of everything, there are certainly some scary moments. You would talk to people. They would tell you, you know, I know people who have gotten calls about the Bears. You know people who have gotten calls about the Bears and do not have the greatest endorsement.
Well, I think,
that is out there. There are a lot of people who tell you, look at how people leave this organization.
Well, that's the thing. The fear of, or the perception of the organization, the ownership, I think is heavier in terms of a weight or weighing than it is the strength of the schedule in the NFC North.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
That's a bigger impediment.
Yeah.
Because I think what happens with schedules and divisions, those are cyclical things, right? They go in cycles. Ownership's forever.
And there's no one that isn't going to wonder, well, what happens with ownership? How, you know, what happens next? Do they sell? Do they, you know, it doesn't matter to people. It's really the building. That, like, oh, they're going to have a state-of-the-art building.
Oh,
sign
great.
Me up.
Everyone's got one of those.
I mean, that's great.
Stadium
it's
project.
Important.
Oh, yeah, great.
But that's not going to drive anyone to be the coach of the Chicago Bears.
No.
But, again, the Bears have a ton of pluses. It will be a coveted job. But I do think that there are some negatives here that you got to be realistic about. And there will be people that will make a lot of phone calls about Kevin Warren. So, I mean, that's just the reality of everybody you interview with. You want to be prepared. You want to sit down. You want to know exactly what they're about and what they got to say to you.
Who will you be working for?
Exactly. Big deal. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 The Score.
This will be the most coveted job in the National Football League this year.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. You know, not saying that he said this, but that is that is also a statement there from Kevin Warren that Matt Eberflus should have done better. There's a lot of good things in that job. There were a lot of reasons you felt that the Bears were going to do better this year, and the fact that they are currently in a 6-game skid, is a lot of that is on bad decisions at the end of games.
I think there was an expectation that the roster was good enough to almost be Flus-proofed.
Wow.
That the coach would come in, and regardless of who was the head coach, you didn't need that strong personality that they bypassed last January. You didn't need the guy with experience because the roster was going to be good enough.
Can we use that expression? Their roster seems pretty Flus-proof.
Well, the Bears wasn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we can use that if you want moving forward.
All right. I like it.
It's very disrespectful, but.
Yeah, the Lions are doing such a good job. They're almost Flus-proof. Let's give it a shot.
That defense is floose-proofed.
312-644-6767. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. So from the pick six, I just want to say I might have to disagree with you a little bit, Molly. I don't think that Jalen Johnson being an outspoken veteran is should be too much of a deterrence for a new head coach just because he hasn't been too inflammatory, and it took him a long while before, you know, you're human, you reach your boiling point. And I just think that, you know, in the front, well, not necessarily the front office, but at the very top of this franchise, like, we need to figure out what the fundamental issues are up there, because it's like, I think I stated it yesterday evening when I called in that, you know, it's like they're hiring these people who, and they're allowing them to make mistakes. So, for instance, I think it'll be a mistake if they hire somebody and then that same somebody let their pride or ego get in the way and want to trade or get rid of Jalen Johnson for being a veteran. You know, I think that they need to get the whatever philosophy, whatever issues up top inside the ownership together before we can expect change and really have faith in this team, because it's like it's been the same thing over and over and over again. And it's kind of, as a fan, man, it wears down on you. So whatever issues there is before they hire this coach, they need to figure it all out. All right, guys.
Thanks, Don. And understand what I'm saying. I like Jalen Johnson. I'm not trying to stifle anyone's creativity or right to speak. And I like, in my role, hearing him talk. I think he's great. I'm telling you that I know for a fact that there are coaches that would not like that.
No doubt.
There is no shadow of a doubt that there are coaches.
That's not a radical statement.
I'm just trying to let you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he's waited and earned it and now it's time for him.
There are coaches in that building that don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So
I know.
Not everybody's a talk show host.
I stand by what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm telling you that people won't like it. Now, I had a really interesting experience one time where I went out to the racetrack and I ran into Brian Cox at the track. And he's like, where are you sitting? Come sit with me. And the two of us went off. I was with a couple people. And, I mean, I had a great day. And he's a great guy to spend a little time with. And we got to talking about different things. And he had told me one time that Bill Parcells was the kind of coach he could never play for. Just the guy was too demanding and blah, blah, blah. Well, he ended up playing for Bill Parcells. And he got along famously with Bill Parcells. They were both horse racing guys. They both like going out to the races.
Because they addressed it head on, though.
They had a lot in common.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they both wanted to win and nothing else. And they got along famously.
Yeah.
And I think that there may be perception of people that changes when you deal with them up close. But I'm telling you, whether you like hearing it or not, that will drive some coaches out of their mind.
No doubt about it.
All right. We've got to get to a quick break. We got Biggs time next. Mully and Hall on the score.
Floose-proofed.